I'm Cammie Whitchurch. I'm the Community Engagement Commissioner for Utah PTA, and one of my hidden talents is I play the kalimba.
What's that?
It's a finger piano, so it's got these little tines, and you play it with your thumbs. It's really cool. You should look it up, and they're really inexpensive instruments, so if you ever want to start, it's a good one to start. Yeah, I know. We have lots of free time in PTA. We're always busy. It's good.
Okay, I'm Angelie Ito. I'm the Family Life Commissioner. And, okay, my hidden talent is that I'm really good at cooking chicken. Like, it's never overcooked. It's never pink. It's always, like, perfect. Whether I grill it, bake it, put it in the crock pot, whatever, it always turns out, like, really good. Skill, I guess.
Do you have a little liner for the crock pot? Do you use the liners?
I feel like I should, but I never buy them.
Heavenly.
She likes to scrub against the crock pot.
I mean, that's what I make my kids do. You know, they're in charge of cleaning the crock pot.
Yeah, that's true. So. It's a good, like, if you're being naughty, you get to go scrub the pot. You're not going to eat all your dinner, you get to scrub the pot. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, what about you?
Yeah, I like videography. That's mostly what I...
You forgot your name and what you do.
Oh. Hey guys, this is Mike Williams. I'm the Director of Communications here at the Utah PTA. And my fun things to do is run a little family YouTube channel. We're a whole 270 subscribers. We have 5,000 minutes viewed a month is about what we're averaging. Which is crazy. 5,000 minutes of people watching my videos. So that's what we do. We have fun making YouTube videos.
That's cool. I love that. All right, Richard, your turn.
Richard Ellis, Executive Director at My529, Utah's College Savings Plan. I've been trying to think of a hidden talent, and I don't know that I have one. Or maybe they're also hidden, but... Let's see, here's my little known fact, though. I'm the father of 6 boys... And in the middle of all that are triplets.
Wow.
So that's my claim to fame, is my triplet boys. I used to be known as the father of the triplets. And I was the mother of the triplets.
Well,
we didn't have
boys,
names.
Too. Were they really rambunctious? Or are they pretty good?
No,
really?
I wouldn't trade all 6 for a single one of my nieces.
Awesome. Boys and girls are different.
Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are.
Well, actually, all kids are different. I think you could just phrase it that way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I agree with just saying that I have 3 boys, 2 girls. Well, my last one, I really wanted to be a little girl because I love my little girls. Now that they're growing, I was happy to have a boy.
But you still love all your
children,
right?
Oh, I do, man. They're difficult sometimes.
They're not watching this and going, wait a minute,
Dad.
That's awesome.
Well, my last one was supposed to be a girl. It was 5 years after the triplets, and as my wife came in and threw down the ultrasound on my desk and said, "It came plumb wrong too."
Awesome.
How old are all your children now?
So my youngest is 30 and my oldest is almost 40.
Okay.
Wow. Very cool. Very cool. Do you still do a lot of stuff together? Like, are they all here in the valley?
I have 5 of them that live here in the valley. One's up in Tacoma area. And the other 5 all probably live within 4 miles of us. So they're really close. So we spend a lot of time together.
That's good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So 18 grandkids. Just had our 18th 2 weeks ago.
Aww.
And so when they come over, the house sighs when they all leave, as does Grandma and Grandpa.
Yeah. And it probably gets really quiet once they leave, too.
It does.
Yep.
That's fun.
Awesome.
I love it. All right. Well, we're here to talk about September College Savings Month. So what is the My529 plan and what does it offer for families?
So we'll start with just 529 plans in general. So Congress set these up back in 1996, and Utah also happened to adopt its law in 1996, also creating what was then the Utah Educational Savings Plan. 529 plans have to be sponsored by a government agency or a university, and in our case, we are housed within the Utah System of Higher Education, so we're just coming up on 28, 29 years of existence. 529 plans are called that. Like a 401k is named after the section 401k of the Internal Revenue Code. 529s are after section 529 of the Internal Revenue Code. A little less known than 401ks is what we find as we meet with people. So they're really, they're more like a Roth IRA. They're a tax-advantaged way of saving and investing for a child's future education expenses.
Is there a minimum that you would have to, like, put in every month, or?
My 529 doesn't have a minimum amount. So people open accounts, and maybe it takes them 6 months before they ever fund any money into it. We have people that just put $5 or $10 a month into it, or once a year they may put $50. So we have no minimum amount required to open it or a minimum amount to put any money into it.
That's awesome. That's really good. Especially if you've got like some of those really little ones that, you know, they may be contributing a little smaller amount.
But, you know, the hope is that people begin a savings kind of mentality with this, whether it's themselves or having their kids help contribute into the accounts. You know, it's just important to get started and be saving, because, you know, we all know that education and skills training are going to be important to their future. And what we can start doing now is really getting a steps ahead.
So can you kind of explain why a 529 plan would be more advantageous over just like a regular savings plan?
You know, I think that's a great question. You know, a lot of people, when you do national surveys, people say, well, I'm saving. It's part of my savings account. Well, also in your savings account is your vacation and your emergency fund and your, you know, who knows what else there is. But if you have a separate account that you're saving just for education, it's a little harder to go rob from. And especially accounts like these, because they carry a little tax consequence if you don't use it for education expenses. So that's one of the real advantages. And then, of course, the tax savings. You're not paying tax on the growth in that fund. And because you can have investments in stocks, then you can get more growth than just a regular savings account. And that tax advantage over time adds up.
Yeah, that's really good. It's a good idea.
Do you have like a suggested amount that, you know, I know you can start anytime. I remember my wife, she's like, we need to start right when our little girl was born. But even if or when, what is like a good amount so that they are prepared for college?
You know, there's no right answer to that question. I think there's several things you need to think about. One is, how much money do I have? Am I willing to give up my Coke a day or my Starbucks a day or whatever it is and put that money into a savings account? But again, a lot of people, I think they get hung up thinking, oh, you know, 4 years at University of Utah is going to cost me $100,000. I'll never save that much, so why bother? So what if you put in $50 a month, and if you got, a 6% return, let's say, that'll be about $18,000 over 18 years. No, it doesn't pay for 4 years of college at University of Utah. But it'll pay for books, it'll pay for 1 year, it'll do something, and that's $1 less that you had to take in a student loan, or maybe one semester less you have to go as a part-time student because you're having to work to pay the bills. You know, it buys books, it buys computers, it does a lot of things. So, you know, you have to kind of look at it and say, what can I afford to, what would be my goal? You know, with my kids, I didn't say I'll pay for your education completely. They had to work a little bit, and I helped pay at least half their tuition, if not more, but managed to get them through their bachelor's degrees without having to take out loans. And, you know, for them that was good. Now, master's degrees and MDs, they were on their own for that stuff. But, you know, we at least got them through that part without having to do it. So I don't think there's a right answer. Everybody's a little bit different, but the key is just really to begin saving and taking advantage of it.
That's great.
Yeah, for sure. That's good advice. I'm like, I need to open one still.
I know. Well, I was just thinking, so I have a daughter who's in her second year of college, and she has scholarships and stuff, but, you know, our second son's a senior in high school, and I think, I mean, we do have a savings account, but it's not, you know, it's one that we could, you know, if we had a rainy day, we could pull a little bit out of and put it back later. And so something like this would probably have been really good for us.
I know, same.
Because you wouldn't be as tempted to touch it.
Yep. So, yeah. You know, a lot of people don't know about these accounts. And now I have to admit, I've known about them since they were created in 1996. I don't think I opened my first one until about 2003 or 2004. So by then, my oldest was a senior in high school or just out of high school, and my second son was right in there turning into a senior time frame. So, you know, to get a tax, there's a Utah State tax credit that you can get, but they have to be under age 19 when you open the account. Well, my two sons were over age 19, so it didn't do me any good. And then my triplets were next, and they were like 16. I opened the accounts anyway, and all I really did was kind of flow money through it to get, you know, $42 in a tax credit, but it was $42 in a tax credit. I was a little better with my youngest son, you know, and with my grandkids, when I get their Social Security numbers after a few weeks, I open an account and I contribute every month into the grandkids' accounts. And, you know, again, it's just whatever you can do. And is it too late? You know, it's really never too late. So we got to think about them and take advantage of them when we can.
Yeah, that's good to know. So you were saying that you contribute to your grandkids. So do you have separate accounts for each one of them, or do you just have one big kind of...
No, the way we're designed, you have to have an account for each beneficiary.
Okay.
So I think altogether I have 18 or 19 accounts, because I still have a couple left over from my boys that are just fun sitting in it, and then my grandkids. And so I have, when I open my account, I see this whole big list of accounts and have to scroll down to get to the bottom.
But is it something, because you can contribute to it, but can you have other people contributing into the same account?
You know, that's a great question, because other people can contribute. You know, the beauty of these, you can open an account for anybody. You could open it for your neighbor's kids if you really felt like you liked them that much and you wanted to. But typically it's going to be for your own children or nieces and nephews. Now I forgot what the question was. Oh, can anybody else contribute? So, yeah, anybody can contribute into a 529 account. Now, in Utah, the person that owns the account gets the tax credit. So if I contributed to your account, you get credit for the money I put into it. So you want to encourage others to do that so you can take advantage of their tax credit.
Yeah, that sounds good.
But we also have a gifting platform, we refer to it as. And you can, when you open the account, you can get a gifting code. And it's like a 6 or 7 digit code, and you can share that in social media, email it to friends and family, so when graduation comes, birthday comes, Christmas comes, they can go to our gifting site, they enter that code, and they can make a contribution directly into your account. You know, so that, you know, think of it as a, you know, Kickstarter, whatever, the GoFundMe kind of account. You know, let's make this a social contribution thing. Need everybody we know to participate in it. And it just helps that account grow that much faster.
That's a brilliant idea.
I know. I'm like,
send it out with your graduation announcement.
You know, and maybe grandma and grandpa don't want to open an account and have to deal with it, but they would make periodic contributions. So gifting platform works really well for them to be able to do it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And there's no cost to any of this, like setting it up or fees or anything, or are there?
Well, yeah, of course there's always fees. but, you know, the... I won't refer to them as hidden fees because we're very transparent about what they are. But we don't have any fees, you know, like a $50 fee to open the account or to deposit money into the account. But there are two fees that really get charged on these. So we have a, we refer to it as an administrative asset fee. So that helps cover our operating costs as program manager and investment manager on it. And it's 9 basis points, so 0.09%.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty tiny. And then the other piece on that is the mutual funds they're invested in, they all have their own operating expense ratio. But because of our size, we're the third largest direct sold plan in the country. We have over $24 billion today. And so that scale allows us to be really cheap on our nine basis point administrative asset fee, but also because we have so much money invested, and primarily with Vanguard funds, that we get their absolute lowest fees. So we have some funds we invest in, we pay 1 basis point, 1/100 of a percent. So on average, it's between 2 and 3 basis points for that, plus our 9. So you're 12, 13, 14 basis points for expenses. So what is that, $14 or $1.40 on $1,000 a year?
Wow.
It's not very much.
Yeah.
There must be a lot of money in that account to keep you guys... operating.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and we're really a national plan. There's a few plans out there that we don't advertise we're a national plan, but by happenstance, we have become one. To be most of our assets and our accounts are out-of-state money, but for a Utah resident, that's great because it really subsidizes our costs. When we bring money from out-of-state, it helps lower our overall costs, so for our Utah residents, it's cheaper. We only advertise in Utah. You know, we do a little bit of digital advertising outside of state, but primarily our focus is on Utah, and the things we do is how do we get Utahns to start investing for their child's futures. And so that's where our focus is. You know, we wish we had higher penetration. If you were to look at the population under age 18 in Utah, I can't remember how many hundreds of thousands of kids that is. I mean, it's a big number, but not huge. We only have about 8% of those that have counts.
Yeah.
You know, we wish that was 50%, even 20%, or, you know, whatever the number is. So we're working really hard to try to build that. That's one of our metrics we look at is what's our saturation in Utah? How many of the kids under age 18 have an account?
I know my kid's school always sends home, like, a flyer about it, but that's it. Like, it's just a flyer, like... So it's hard because I'm like, maybe people want more information, but they just sent home, like, a random flyer, you know?
Yeah, you know, interesting, years ago, the legislature passed a law that requires all public schools, when kids register for kindergarten, to provide them information about 529 accounts. So we actually produce and print the flyer. We send them out to every school. We send them in English and Spanish if they would like Spanish. We provide it digitally if they're using Peach Jar or some other, you know, form like that to communicate with parents so they can get that out. So you'll see it every year. And the requirement's kindergarten, but we send it out K through 6. We have additional brochures that we do for middle school and high school students that are geared a little bit differently. You know, so we do that. I think the one advertising that we get the most comment about is our billboards between here and St. George and a few going north. People, I don't know if they know what it is, but, you know, when you know, you say, oh, look, there's a My 529 billboard. So now the next time you drive to St. George, you're going to look, and all of a sudden you're going to see, I saw 4 billboards on my way down to St. George. People see that for some reason, and you can't say a lot on a billboard.
Oh, I can see it in my head right now, the little
M-Y. Yep, I can see it.
Yeah, I can see it in my head.
Yeah, nobody knows what it is, but they see that, and they remember, well, I did see it.
Yeah.
You know, so what do they say about marketing? 7 or 8 contacts before you get people to really understand. Mm-hmm. And so that's a contact point. The flyer's a contact point. You know, we're starting to use a lot more QR codes, so when those flyers go home, you can just scan that on your phone. It takes you right to my529.org, so you can begin to learn about it, enroll, sign up, all those kinds of things. So, you know, awareness is a real challenge, not just for us, for every plan across the country, and so we're doing all we can just to increase that awareness.
Yeah.
I think that's hard with all things.
I know. Well, and I think we're so saturated with information that it's really hard to get your thing in the door.
Well, then you think at the start of a school year, kids come home with so much from school registration, mm-hmm. and that's just one more thing. Or, you know, we for new babies in some of the hospitals, we put together packets and we send it home with a newborn parent. Well, you know, they're still trying to figure out, when am I going to sleep, let alone when am I going to fill out an application to open a 529 account. That was my number one priority.
Should be.
You know, so it really ought to
don't
be.
Don't leave the hospital.
People don't get
done.
That. Yeah. You know, we ought to make it like you got to give a name and social, you know, apply for Social Security, where you got to open your 529 account before you go. You know, we're overwhelmed with a lot of information. So when you get a brochure, for us, it's, well, that's one contact. We're hoping that somewhere it spurs it. Maybe you see a billboard. Maybe you'll see one of our TV ads occasionally, or an online digital ad, and that ultimately at some point it prompts you to say, I'm going to dig in and see what this My529 is all about.
Yeah.
So when parents are opening an account, they just have to go online. Is that the process?
Yeah, they can go online. Even if you're old-fashioned like me, you can still fill out a manual form. And we still get some of those. We process a few hundred a week of people sending in forms. But you can do it online. It takes about 10 minutes. You have to be at least age 18. You have to have a physical address in the United States. You need your Social Security number, your beneficiary Social Security number. And then you can go online, fill out the information. The most difficult part is people are going to be presented with investment options. And that's where people, you know, it's like your 401k. I start a new employment, and then I've got all these 401k options, and what should I choose? And, you know, and unfortunately, we can't give advice because we're not registered investment professionals to be able to do that. So when you call, which one should I invest in? We think, well, you know, these are popular ones that people use, or, you know, so we have a lot of options. For those that want to be really aggressive, we have funds that are 100% stock. We have others that are like a target date fund for retirement. We call them a target enrollment date fund. So, you know, if your child's born today, you want to look out 18 years from now. So that 2042-43 fund is the one you'd say, okay, I'll put it in there. It's lots of stocks. Over time, it will de-risk. get into more bonds and FDIC insured types of things so that, you know, I have less risk when they're ready to go to school. And there's lots of other options that you can just choose. If I just want to put it in the FDIC account, I can do that. But people have to make that decision. So a lot of people fall out at that point as we track them. So we're trying to think, how can we make this easier? And, you know, we just redid our website recently on the investment side. So people, it's a little more dynamic. We have a little scale there. You can slide and look at the different investment options and and see how, you know, what their equity and fixed income allocations look like. And, you know, try to educate people because it is hard. Most people don't have the experience and don't trust themselves in what to do. And so making that decision.
So once you've set it up, say you make a decision, you talk to people, and you go, I made the wrong choice. Can they go back and adjust?
You can, but you're very limited. The federal law only allows 2 changes a year to an investment option. So if you went in and you didn't like it and you went and made a change, that would be 1, and you can make 1 other change that year.
Okay.
You know, I have colleagues around the country that say, you know, we should open the door and let them make as many changes as they would want. And I disagree with that. I really think 2 protects people from themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, you look at a 401k fund, and you may know people or have friends and neighbors that are smarter than the market. So every time the market does something, they make adjustments. The problem is those adjustments always come after the fact rather than before the fact. So you miss out on it when the market crashes. Well, you sell at the bottom and then it goes up. Well, you don't trust it yet. You think it's going to die. And so then you're late getting in. And, you know, so there's like 8 days a year. If you miss those 8 days, you miss most of the return is what studies have found. So I think limiting people and causing it to just sit there is to their advantage, even though they may not like it. They're better off. You know, I was just looking earlier this month, and it was very volatile when we look at the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th of August. We had some very volatile days.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the 5th of August, and we saw this spike in people that moved their investment options. And I don't know where they moved it to. My guess is they got out of equities. And in the last 2 weeks, we've recovered all that money we lost in equities over that 4-day period. Well, they probably didn't get back into equities till now, so they locked in a loss. And now markets moved on them, and they will have missed out. So, you know, you can make changes, but you want to be very judicious about it and prudent.
Yep.
But I think thinking about the fact that this is a long-term, you know, investment, and mm-hmm. usually you kind of want to let those sit and ride through the ups and downs.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what things have shown over time, is that you really just need to let things ride. And, you know, when the markets go crazy, I stop looking at my 401k balance to see if I can retire tomorrow. I just turn it off. You know, a few years, the great financial crisis, I didn't look for 4 years to see if I had any money that I'd ever be able to retire. You know, today, that same thing. And even though 18 years is short relative to retirement, it's still long-term investment. And when you read investment studies, asset allocation is the biggest contributor to return. And so, you know, if you're monkeying around with it all the time, you're going to miss out. And so you just need to ignore it. Make your choice, feel good about the risk tolerance you have, and then live with it. And make a change if you think you're really messed up, but be careful.
Yeah. You said you had some kids that still have money in theirs. Is there a way to transfer it to another account, or do they just pull it out?
Yeah, you know, that's the beauty of these accounts. They're really flexible. You know, when you think about some of the myths, one of the myths out there is, well, what if my child doesn't go to college? I just lost all that money. What if they get a scholarship? I just lost all that money. Well, none of those are true statements. You can still take it out. So actually, I had 4 accounts, and 2 of them I actually transferred to my grandchildren. So you can move it to beneficiaries. So if you have a child that has excess money or decides not to use that money, you can transfer it to a sibling, to a cousin, to an aunt, to an uncle. You can transfer it to yourself. You know, you always wanted to do the study abroad through the University of Utah to learn how to cook in Italy. Put it in your own account.
Now's the time.
Make sure you do it through the university program so you're paying to a qualified education, an eligible education institution. And you can do that. So there's great flexibility in what you can do.
That's very flexible. Yeah.
Now, speaking of an education institution, can you use it for like a trade school or?
You know, the use is pretty broad. The definition, the federal definition is you have to any school that's eligible to participate in federal student aid programs, you can use your 529 funds and have it as a qualified education expense. You know, so that's pretty broad. That can be private schools. So think of cosmetology schools. A lot of those you can still, you can use it there. In Utah, we have these, you know, the Utah Technical Colleges are such a great institution for kids can go learn to be welders or
diesel
all sorts
mechanics.
Of things, diesel yeah. mechanics, machinists, business. They can, you know, there's lots of different things there. It's such a great system. You can use it there. You can use it at community colleges. So you can use it anywhere, and it doesn't have to be in Utah. It can be at any institution. There are even foreign countries that are eligible to receive federal financial aid that it can be used at those schools. So you have to go to the FAFSA site and see what institutions qualify, but that's the key. They have to be eligible to participate in federal financial aid, and you can use the money there as a qualified expense.
That's awesome.
Because if it's not qualified, then it's a non-qualified withdrawal, and you have to pay a 10% penalty and tax on the earnings portion. And you know, there's always a downside when you have a tax-free or tax advantage account, and that's a downside. So use it for its purpose, education.
Yeah, do you feel like you have anything else you want to share about the program? Yeah.
You know, you mentioned about College Savings Month. So September has been known as College Savings Month in our industry for many, many years. And so, you know, we really want to promote that people start thinking about it. The key, when's the best time to start investing? Today. Would you do it when they're newborns? That would be absolutely the best time. But a lot of us aren't in that situation right now, and it doesn't matter. Start today, because whatever you're able to save is one less dollar in student loan you may have to take and then repay with interest. It's and it's just building that savings habit and being very consistent in saving. You know, we have the ability to do automatic contributions. So you can set it up that on the 5th of every month, I want you to take $25 out of my checking account, and we'll pull that money every month on the 25th. So, you know, for my grandkids, I have two different dates of the month that I pull, you know, half of them one date and half the other date, so that I can afford to put the money in there. But, you know, it's a great simple way. And, of course, that consistency is what makes a difference over time. And, you know, you can always do one-time contributions, you know, and we see some very large one-time contributions coming in from people. And but it's really, for most of us, is the discipline of saving consistently and really starting early so that you have time on your side, and that compounded growth of the earnings is what helps you out in the end. So it's really a great product, I think. You know, others will say, oh, there got to be other, you know, products out there. And there are. You know, we see people talk about using their Roth IRA. There are UGMA UPMA accounts. There are Coverdell savings accounts. And, you know, they each have their advantages. But I think the best overall are 529 plans. Is a great way for people to save for education. And again, we all know that getting that education sets them up for life, for greater earnings potential, just greater lifestyle. Everything that they do is advantaged by having that additional education and having that good income.
Well, I thought of one more question.
Sure.
So if your kid is ready to use the money, like, what's the process to take out the money?
So you can go online, you can do it by form too, but you can just go online, and we have a little tab there that says withdrawals. There's a contribution, there's a withdrawal. You hit withdrawal, and it will walk you through the process. So you can have the money sent to you as the account owner. You can have it sent to the beneficiary, to the child. You can have it sent directly to a college or institution if it's a tuition payment, so it doesn't even have to flow through, and then the beneficiary will get the tax, the 1099 tax form on it, 1099Q. But it's a really simple process. So we see about 99% of our transactions are done online, even though we may do hundreds of others, but we're doing millions of transactions a year. And so we've tried to make it as simple and easy for people to access and use as we can, and we think we've done pretty good with it.
Yeah, I love it.
Amazing.
So where are you? Are there, like, branches? Is it, like, how if they're not doing it online, how do they do it?
If you're not doing it online, go online.
I'm like, yeah, where do you get these paper forms?
You can download the form.
You have to mail
from online.
From online. Yep. So if you're there, you might just as well sign up online. But, yeah, we have the forms you can download online, or And you're going to ask me what the phone number is. I don't know. We have an 800 number that you can also call, and we will mail a packet
we'll
out to you with all the information. Yeah, it's out there somewhere. I just don't know what it is.
Do you have like a physical location people can go to? Or?
Well, we do. We're actually located in the Gateway at 60th South, 400 West, in the Utah System of Higher Education building, right across from the Delta Center on the backside. We don't have many people come in, so we're not. We take them when they come. It doesn't seem friendly because the door's locked and you have to ring a bell to get in. And true fact.
I'm sure.
Not just because I saw that downstairs. Yeah. It's a true fact.
That's true.
That's how you get in. So we take walk-in people too, and we do have people that do that.
That's good.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really good information.
You know, I think one other thing, you know, we think about some of the myths, and I alluded to it a little bit earlier, but, you know, people say, well, what if my kid doesn't go, what do I do with the funds? You know, we talked about how you can transfer to other beneficiaries. You know, if they get the scholarship, well, if they get a scholarship or an appointment to one of the military academies, you can take that much money out of your account and not have to pay the penalty. I think you have to pay income tax on the earnings portion, but it's always a pro rata, so it's going to be less than right now, probably less than 50%, could be only 20 or 30% that you have to pay the tax on, and you can take that money for yourself. But again, what we love to see people do is to keep it in there, create legacy funds, you know, leave it there, let it flow, give it to the grandkids, whatever it is, because education is just so important, again, that whatever we can do to help our young people today be successful tomorrow, we got to be all in on that.
Definitely.
Yeah,
that's a great way to end it. At least that sounded like a cool ending thing. Unless you guys have more.
No, I think we covered all
so
the
cool.
things we wanted to talk
I know,
about.
I thought it was really informative. Now I'm just sitting here going, okay,
yeah,
I gotta go home and get online.
I know, I'm like, okay, let me pull it up right now. Cammie and I will get on it.
That's right. Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Yeah.
Cool.
We'll just switch that money that's in a savings account over to...
Just move it over.
I know, yeah. I like the untouchable money because when it's in my savings account, it's not really, not
yeah.
Savings.
Yeah,
it's not savings, really.
Nothing's sacred when it's an account like that.
No.
I've tried that for 60 years now. It just doesn't work all the time.
When your water heater goes out unexpectedly.
Like, okay.
That's right.
And your air conditioning in the middle of the summer.
Yeah.
All the problems. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks for coming, Richard. We're so happy to have you.
Oh, thanks for having us and inviting me in today. It's just been great. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's been really fun, really informative. So come back anytime.
Oh, you invite
us. Party.
We'll be back.
Okay, good.
We
good.
Love any opportunity to be out there and talking with people and get spreading the word.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Yeah.